Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. 13 Republican election deniers are running for Secretary of State. If they win their races in states like Nevada, Michigan, and Arizona, they could overturn the will of the voters in future elections. They are openly saying they will secure a Trump victory in 2024. They have raised more than $12 million from mega donors, fake Trump electors, and scores of small dollar donors, according to an Issue One report. So what is being done to educate voters about these important races and elect people who will ensure election integrity and protect the right to vote? Michael Beckel is research director at Issue One, an organization working to fix the broken political system and reduce the corrosive influence of big money in politics. Michael and his colleagues wrote an in-depth report following the money directly to these Republican election deniers. Before joining Issue One in 2017, Michael spent 8 years as a journalist with the Center for Public Integrity and the Center for Responsive Politics. Hi, Michael. Welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me today, Rose.
Well, in a recent report you co-wrote about who's funding these election deniers, you and your colleagues write that if individuals who deny the outcome of the 2020 presidential election are successful in their bids for election administration positions, they could overturn the will of the voters in future elections. So these 13 races are very important.
That they are. The stakes in Secretary of State races are incredibly high. And I think we're seeing that reflected in the record amount of money flowing into so many of these contests across the country.
So I've been reading a lot about these candidates, Michael. I mean, some of them are just outright conspiracy theorists. In some cases, I had to read some of the articles twice. But 13 of them have already said that they will secure a Trump victory in 2024.
Yeah, there are a lot of candidates who ran as election deniers for a number of positions, and our research has focused exclusively around those running for Secretary of State, which is the official in most states who is the top elections officer. They're responsible for voter registration, expanding voting access, maintaining clean voter rolls, and administering elections. And these are folks that should be impartial referees and not putting their thumb on the scale for any particular party or partisan agenda. And, you know, it's been deeply concerning to see a coalition of election denier, pro-conspiracy theorist candidates emerging, especially in a number of these battleground states, including Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, Minnesota, Michigan. We're seeing this intense interest now by both the conspiracy theorists and their supporters and defenders of democracy who are pumping just a record amount of money into Secretary of State races.
So just to go over again what these secretaries of state actually do on the ground, because in the past they just didn't get that much attention, but now they are for good reason. So examples of pro-democracy actions a secretary of state can take. You just named a few. They can implement robust state voting rights laws to ensure voters have access. They make sure that the results are accurate and secure. They issue election guidance to local election officials. So it's a very important job. Examples of anti-democracy actions a Secretary of State can take. They can engage in unprofessional or partisan reviews of election results, fail to issue election guidance or guidance that restricts voter access. They can advocate for legislation that adds barriers to voter options. We're seeing that right now. And then they can certify election results that do not reflect the official winners of the election. So how do you see this playing out if some of these candidates do win their races?
There are certainly a number of alarming actions that extremist election administrators could take. As you mentioned, you know, they could fail to certify legitimate election results. They could, you know, sit on the sidelines as county officials are trying to go through that certification process, or they could be actively gumming up the works as the county election officials are trying to certify results. They could be doing things such as forcing places to do hand counts of ballots, which we know is a method of counting ballots that is more expensive, more time intensive, and cost taxpayers more money than using machines and computers to tabulate the voting results. Secretary of States have the power to decertify election equipment, and folks could come in and decertify voting equipment that has been already deemed as safe and secure. And, you know, it's one thing to replace outdated machinery that needs to be updated, but it's a whole nother story to be decertifying election equipment that is perfectly safe, perfectly operational, and just simply makes it harder for people to vote if they don't have access to that type of voting equipment. And, you know, we are seeing places already where, you know, some folks are saying that we need to talk about forcing residents to re-register to vote, jumping through barriers to access the right to vote that experts say is unconstitutional. So clearly there are a lot of alarming actions that election denying secretaries of state could take. And, you know, it's really going to be up to the people and the, you know, the voters in each state to force folks to follow the law and uphold the rule of law to ensure that we have a smooth elections process and a smooth transfer of power in the races that they oversee.
Let's talk about some specific examples, and then we will follow the money. So iVote is an amazing organization. They were supposed to join us today, but something came up. So iVote has information about what has been happening in Michigan. From 2011 to 2018, a Republican Secretary of State purged tens of thousands of voters from the voting rolls, closed polling locations, and installed broken voting machines, all targeting people of color. April 2018, the Republican nominee for Secretary of State, backed by the DeVos family, connected to Betsy DeVos, praised and credited voter purges going into 2016 for handing Michigan to Trump. The summer and fall of 2018, iVote ran a $2.5 million campaign supporting Democratic candidate Jocelyn Benson. She won by just 9 points, flipping the office blue for the first time since 1995. It's just incredible to look at these numbers and these races, Michael, that so many states have had Republican secretaries of state for decades. And the switch was tangible because Jocelyn Benson, she expanded the right to vote. She's made it easier to vote in Michigan. And then because of Trump and all of the lies that he spewed about the election, she had to deal with armed protesters outside of her home after the 2020 election. I'm sure a lot of people have seen her in the media. Okay, so coming up to today, 2022, Jocelyn Benson, the Democrat running for Secretary of State in Michigan, is running against a Republican election denier named Christina Caramo. She is backed by Trump. She's attended QAnon events. Bridge Michigan reports that in episodes of a podcast she started before announcing her campaign, she referred to herself as an anti-vaxxer. She's opposed to the teachings of evolution in schools. She's called abortion human sacrifice. I mean, I could go on. It's just shocking that people like this are running for these high offices, but this is where we are.
This is where we are. And issue one also has a sister 501c4 arm called Issue One Action that published a report recently that actually named Christina Caramo as one of the 8 most dangerous anti-democracy Secretary of State candidates running across the country. You know, she has wholly embraced Trump's conspiracy theories. She falsely claimed that Antifa, posing as Trump supporters, were behind the January 6th attack on the Capitol. And, you know, she is somebody who would be very alarming to have in control of the elections process in a state, especially a battleground state like Michigan.
And when you followed the money, you all did such a great job of exposing people, some I'm sure a lot of us have never heard of, who have given money to these candidates. So, for example, Lewis and Margaret Topper have given $5,000 to Christina Caramo. Lewis Topper is a fast food restaurateur operating Wendy franchises for 30 years. World Central, the company of which he's the chair and CEO, is the largest Wendy's franchise in the country. Alan Blair gave $4,200 to Caramo. He works in the IT industry as a senior data enterprise cloud architect. Former Trump Save America PAC gave $5,000 to Christina Caramo. Anything else stand out for you when you look at the money she's getting?
Yeah, even one of the so-called fake electors, who was one of the 16 individuals who signed a letter certifying that Trump had won the state of Michigan after Biden carried it in 2020, is one of the individuals who has donated to Caramo as well. You know, when we looked at the money across the country, across these, you know, roughly dozen races where candidates who were election deniers emerged as the nominees, as well as the races in which they failed, you know, there were dozens of candidates who failed as well. You know, we really saw a host of individuals, some of whom are household names to people like me, who have spent years following money in politics, and some of whom are newer to the scene. Former Overstock.com CEO Patrick Byrne is a great example of somebody who has been at the forefront of the election denier movement. He has given nearly $3,000 to Christina Caramo, as well as $5,000 to Jim Marchant, who is the Republican nominee for Secretary of State in Nevada. And Marchant is famous for, among other things, creating this pro-Trump coalition of Secretary of State candidates that all embrace election denying conspiracy theories and are trying to enact policies inspired by those conspiracies. So Patrick Byrne is somebody who has not only donated directly to the candidates themselves, but he also financed a movie about false claims about the 2020 election, and has pumped in a lot of money to the political action committee that Nevada Secretary of State candidate Jim Marchant operates, that is going around boosting election deniers running for Secretary of State and other offices. So again, a host of mega donors, notable donors, and just scores of individuals who are making small dollar donations and are, you know, inspired by this heated rhetoric to open their wallets and give to these candidates.
Can you tell us a little bit more about Jim Marchant? In the report that you all put out, you write that he has baselessly claimed that Nevadans' votes have not been counted for decades because of a deep state cabal that has been rigging elections.
Yeah, Jim Marchant is a former state assemblyman. He's now running for Secretary of State in Nevada. And he has already said that had he been Secretary of State in 2020, he would not have certified Joe Biden's victory there. He has also expressed an openness to sending an alternative slate of electors to Congress the next time around that would not support the winner of the popular vote in Nevada in 2024. He has said that the 2020 election was stolen from both him and Donald Trump. He ran for Congress unsuccessfully. He brought a legal challenge that worked its way through the court system. And he lost his congressional race legitimately by roughly 16,000 votes. But he continues to peddle conspiracy theories and lies about the integrity of the election. And he's one of these folks that has said if he and the folks in the pro-Trump coalition that he is putting together are elected, that's a way to ensure that Donald Trump will be president again after 2024. And he's going around Nevada trying to convince county clerks to stop using computers and machines to count their ballots. You know, it's just so mind-boggling in some ways to see people who, you know, purport to believe in integrity and transparency, you know, embracing measures that will lead to more confusion and more inefficiency and just, you know, wasting taxpayer money doing things like requiring a hand count in counties to process all of these ballots instead of sending them through a machine that can tabulate the results very quickly and are, you know, deemed safe and looked at by experts. So Jim Marchant is certainly, again, one of these, you know, top anti-democracy candidates in the country that Issue One Action named in its recent report as well.
And as you also report, Jim Marchant formed that pro-Trump, quote, Coalition of America First Secretary of State candidates. He announced the existence of this coalition in October 2021 at a conference held in Las Vegas by QAnon conspiracy theorists. We're going to play a clip. This is Jim Marchant at a recent rally. He is a Republican election denying candidate running for Secretary of State in Nevada.
Last year, I established a MAGA America First coalition of Secretary of State candidates around the country. And I'm speaking mainly now for the people that are watching live stream and on TV. We're going to elect Mark Fincham in Arizona and Carrie Lake in Arizona. They are MAGA. We're going to elect Christina Caramo in Michigan. She's one of our coalition members. Audrey Trujillo in New Mexico, Chuck Gray in Wyoming, Diego Morales in Indiana. If we get all of, and Kayla Campbell in Massachusetts, believe it or not, if we get all of our secretaries of state elected around the country like this, we take our country back.
That is Jim Marchant, a Republican election denying candidate running for Secretary of State in Nevada. He and the other 12 election deniers running say that they're going to basically hand Trump a victory in 2024. Today, we are talking about secretaries of state that are denying the election. This is just a very important story. We're joined today by Michael Beckel, research director at Issue One, an organization working to fix the broken political system and reduce the corrosive influence of big money in politics. If you have any questions for Michael, if you live in one of these states, if you'd like to know how to get involved to raise awareness about these important races, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. I have to be honest, Michael, I feel like I'm stumbling over my words because I can't believe I'm reading some of these things.
Yeah,
in the year 2022.
It is hard to believe, but this is where we are today. And the 2020 election was a wake-up call for a lot of people about what's at stake in these Secretary of State races. And, you know, the fundraising figures show that defenders of our democratic processes are opening up their wallets, supporting people who respect the rule of law, but they're not the only ones doing so. And a lot of these election denying Secretary of State candidates are also raising sizable six-figure, seven-figure sums. Mark Fincham, for instance, in Arizona, who was just mentioned in that audio clip as one of these America First pro-Trump Secretary of State candidates backed by Jim Marchant's PAC, he has raised nearly $2 million for his campaign war chest. And that's the type of money that, you know, a competitive House race, a U.S. House of Representatives race, you know, would have seen, you know, just recently that, you know, these folks in these really contested Secretary of State races are now raising astronomical amounts of money. And, you know, groups like iVote, groups who are getting active, coming into these races are also spending on ads in some of these places. But, you know, there's a lot of educating of the public about the role of Secretary of States and mm-hmm. who these people are and the power that they have that still needs to be done.
Well, let's talk about Mark Finchman. And again, for some background, this is from iVote, 2015 to 2018, a Republican Secretary of State purged tens of thousands of voters from the rolls in Arizona and closed hundreds of polling locations, once again disproportionately affecting voters of color. There are also obviously a lot of indigenous people in Arizona who've been affected by this. August 2018, a self-funding Republican candidate spent over $2 million on his primary, running on a platform of English-only ballots and a citizenship test to be eligible to vote. Fall 2018, iVote spent $3 million supporting Democratic candidate Katie Hobbs. She won by just over 20,000 votes, once again flipping the office blue for the first time in 23 years. So Arizona got its first Democratic Secretary of State in 23 years. Just like Michigan, we saw major changes. She did what she could to make voting easier for everyone. Okay, well, now Katie Hobbs is running for governor against Carrie Lake, another extreme election-denying Republican. So Arizona's Secretary of State race is between Democrat Adrian Fontes and Republican Mark Finchman. You've got a lot of information about Mark Finchman on your One Issue report. You write that on his social media accounts, he's posted about stockpiling ammunition and maintained a, quote, treason watch list that featured photos of several prominent Democratic politicians. This is the guy running for Secretary of State in Arizona.
Yeah, Mark Finchman is a man who has links to the right-wing Oath Keepers militia, and he was actually part of the crowd outside the Capitol on January 6, 2021, when rioters stormed the building in an attempt to disrupt the peaceful transfer of presidential power. He's actually a sitting state legislator, and since the 2020 election, he has been at the forefront of the election denial movement in Arizona. He actually co-signed a joint resolution calling for Arizona's electoral college votes to go to Trump instead of Biden after Biden won Arizona in 2020. And he has continued through this day to be pushing for Arizona to quote unquote decertify the 2020 election results in three of Arizona's major counties, something that experts say is impossible. And, you know, he would be a very alarming person to have at the levers of power in a battleground state like Arizona.
Before we go to break, what are you hearing from Get Out the Vote groups in these states? What are they doing to raise awareness about what is at stake with these Secretary of State races?
Well, there's a lot of energy and attention on these once sleepy down ballot races. I think especially in swing states like Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, Minnesota, New Mexico, these are places where they are trying to make sure that voters know the stakes. A lot of these races have the potential to be incredibly close, and every vote counts. Every vote really matters in these states, in these races. And I think these groups are really trying to get that message out to as many people as possible in the days and, you know, weeks ahead. With less than 2 weeks to Election Day, people are already starting to turn out to vote in many of these states. But you know, talk about having your vote really matter and really count this year. These are races that are going to be incredibly close, and every vote will really count in these races.
Right. Michael Beckel is research director at Issue One. That's an organization working to fix the broken political system in this country and reduce the corrosive influence of big money in politics. Michael and his colleagues wrote about who is funding election deniers who are running for Secretary of State. They also have a very important report about where all of these candidates stand, election deniers exposed. This is such important information. If you have friends or colleagues or loved ones living in states like Nevada, Michigan, Arizona, New Mexico, be sure to spread the word about these very important Secretary of State races, because these candidates are openly saying that they will secure a Trump victory in 2024. And we know in the past that a number of Republican secretaries of state have made it harder for people to vote, especially older people. I'm sorry, people of color, younger people, and people with disabilities. And we've been talking about this for years, and they're just making it harder and harder to vote. But there are incredible groups on the ground that are educating people and really fighting voter suppression. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we are going to talk about the future of Social Security and Medicare. Republicans are saying that they are going to use the debt limit as an excuse to cut these life-saving programs. So I hope you can stay tuned for that. And then coming up tomorrow, we are going to talk about the 7 propositions on the California ballot. There's a lot of money's being spent again. Over $550 million has been spent on Prop 26. That would legalize sports betting at tribal casinos. Prop 27 would make sports betting legal online. So we're going to talk about these propositions tomorrow. If you have a show idea or a guest idea, especially around the midterm elections, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us, yourcall@kalw.org. And if you'd like to join today's show, we're going to spend 10 more minutes talking about these important Secretary of State races. Again, 13 Republicans running for Secretary of State are election deniers. If they win in Michigan, Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, they could overturn the will of the voters in future elections. Today, we're joined by Michael Beckel, research director at Issue One. This is a really great organization working to fix the broken system in this country and reduce the corrosive influence of big money in politics. They've got a report about all of these election deniers, and they have also followed the money. We've got a couple of really important questions from listeners, Michael. Ron writes, how can a Secretary of State refuse to certify a free and fair election? Could that action stand if it's legally challenged?
That is a great question, Ron, and we would be entering uncharted waters if the Secretary of State in any of these states refuses to certify a legitimate election result. I think one of the things that folks would expect to happen in that kind of situation is there would be a lawsuit. Those legal challenges would be made and played out in court. And we've already seen a microcosm of that play out in New Mexico earlier this year, where there was a county where the county commissioners did not want to certify the primary results based on election conspiracy theories. The 3-member commission actually voted 2-1 not to certify the election result. The county clerk in that county wanted to proceed and was arguing with the commissioners that it was their job to certify the election result. And New Mexico's Secretary of State, the incumbent Democratic Secretary of State in New Mexico, actually took that county commission to court. And ultimately, the court sided with the Secretary of State to say that that was a place where the county commission had overstepped its authority, and it did not have the authority to not certify a legitimate election result. And if people you know, one of the players in this drama was actually a commissioner who was the founder of a pro-Trump group who was also at January 6th. And in the wake of this, he was actually going through the court system himself and removed from office under one of the sections of the Constitution that was enacted after the Civil War to say, if you support an insurrection against the United States, you should not hold office. And a judge ruled against this New Mexico County commissioner and removed him from that office. But this is the type of drama that could be playing out if a Secretary of State in a battleground state, you know, like New Mexico or Nevada or Arizona, if some of these election deniers win, you could very much anticipate that they would be trying to use every tool at their disposal to, you know, fight for their side of the argument. And it would definitely be something that ends up going through court and relying on the judicial branch to be calling balls and strikes in that situation.
And just briefly to go over a couple others, in New Mexico, you've got Audrey Trujillo running for Secretary of State. As you all have reported, she has said that the voting systems in the U.S. are, quote, no better than any other communist country like Venezuela. I mean, they all use that line. She called the election a coup. And then going to New Mexico local press, according to Source New Mexico, Audrey Trujillo has embraced a number of conspiracy theories. She says that Biden has been replaced by a clone and that school shootings are carried out by a shadowy deep state to push gun control on the public. Last year, her social media account shared an anti-Semitic meme, really awful Jewish conspiracies. And then she told the Albuquerque Journal that her account was hacked before she said that the images did not have racist intent. I mean, again, Michael, these are just the incredible conspiracy theorists again running for Secretary of State.
Yeah.
To say that Biden's a clone and this person is on a ballot?
Yeah. In New Mexico, this is one state where Audrey Trujillo did not have to compete in a primary election to earn her spot on the ballot line. In some other states, such as Colorado, there were competitive primaries and election deniers did lose some of those races. One of the most prominent election denier Secretary of State candidates in the country was a woman named Tina Peters, who is the county clerk in Mesa County, Colorado, in western Colorado. She's being investigated locally by the state and by the FBI because she allegedly helped some election conspiracy theorists gain access to the voting machines and voting equipment. Election information was then, you know, shared at Mike Lindell's conspiracy theorist conference that originated with her office. And when she was running for Secretary of State in Colorado, she was defeated in the Republican primary by a woman who was a very experienced county clerk herself, a woman who was well respected by folks on both sides of the aisle named Pam Anderson, who, you know, was defending the integrity of Colorado's system, defending the use of mail ballots, defending the security measures and transparency measures in place with Colorado's system. And, you know, at the end of the day, our election system works and is, you know, founded on this principle that Democrats and Republicans and independents are going to work together to fairly administer election results. And election officials need to respect the will of the voter, no matter the outcome of the election. You know, to do their jobs, election officials need to be committed to the principles of honesty and integrity, because free and fair elections are the bedrock of American democracy, and they should not be working to overturn the will of the people or put their thumb on the scale of elections.
The race in South Dakota is barely getting attention, and you got a feel for people living in these states that hardly get talked about. So I thought it was important to mention that Monet Johnson is running for Secretary of State in South Dakota, another election denier, and here she is on KELO.
He's our current president, but I want to move on to the next elections, and I want to inspire people that their vote is going to be tabulated exactly like they vote, because that's going to just bring the trust to the citizens of South Dakota.
So there's no ambiguity. You acknowledge that Joe Biden legitimately won the 2020 presidential election?
I'm not an election denier. I want to move on. There's other groups that are looking into that. But see, the Secretary of State's office does elections, but they also do business filings. So there's so many more things that we need to look at.
Right, right. So Biden won the 2020 presidential election legitimately?
I know you want me to answer that, but he's our president right now.
Okay. Do you acknowledge that he legitimately won in 2020?
I don't want to be an election denier, but I wasn't behind the scenes. I wasn't in the office at the time. So,
okay. I want to give you an opportunity to acknowledge that, if you'd like, that he did win. Do you acknowledge that?
I'm not going to acknowledge that, so thank you.
Monet Johnson, who refuses to acknowledge that, is running for Secretary of State in South Dakota. We've got another question from Michelle. Is there anything that can be done at the federal level to cancel out the influence of these people?
The short answer to that question is yes. And the good news is that steps are being taken at the federal election, at the federal level. There's been a lot of discussion around the role of how Congress counts electoral college votes, how the certified votes make it up to Congress to be ministerially counted. When we think about January 6th, the reason that the joint session of Congress was meeting that day was because the Constitution says that Congress comes together to count the votes that have been sent up to the states. And the good news is that Democrats and Republicans in Congress have been working together for the past 2 years to update the archaic language of a law called the Electoral Count Act of 1887, which was passed in the wake of a very controversial 19th century presidential election, and to clarify, to provide more guidelines, provide the necessary guardrails for Congress and for the counting of Electoral College votes to make sure that legitimate election results do get certified and that peaceful transfer of presidential power can happen when the voters decide it should happen.
Well, thank you for that important question, Michelle. Let's take one more caller who's been waiting patiently, Lena in Berkeley. Hi, Lena. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say thank you for focusing on the midterms so much as at stake in this election, I think more than maybe any other year. And you had mentioned voting orgs working on the ground. And I've been fundraising for voting orgs for the last three election cycles. And I found that Flip the Vote has one of the strongest midterm funds going right now. These are seven BIPOC-led voting organizations in the key swing states that will be critical to the outcome of the election. Every dollar you donate to Flip the Vote goes directly to the organizations. They don't take any, I don't work for them, they don't take any of the money, like not even a cent of every dollar. And all of the organizations have a proven track record of turning out new voters, especially low propensity voters, voters of color, young people. Anyway, it's an awesome fund. It's a really proactive thing that people can do is just make a simple donation to this organization.
Great.
Yeah, they're great. And then I also just wanted to say that I'm an artist with a public art campaign around voter engagement that I worked on with my collaborator, Hope Meng. We have a series of vote posters, and we have free downloads on our website. People can download them and put them up in their window. The website is yourvotecampaign.com. Some of the posters are in the Hella Feminist exhibition right now at the Oakland Museum. So I just wanted to offer two quick things that people can access, particularly that voting fund, but then also some imagery if people want to put a poster in their window to rally their communities to vote.
Thank you so much, Lena. So that is Flip the Vote. And oh my gosh, your art is beautiful. YourVoteCampaign.com. Vote for democracy. Vote for reproductive freedom. Vote for gun reform. Great posters. Thank you so much for the call. Michael, final question. There's so much at stake here. I mean, I have to say, it's really just painful to read about what Republican secretaries of state have done to ensure that it's just to make it harder to vote, especially for people of color. I mean, it's just so ugly. And the fact of the matter is, we've seen it in Michigan and Arizona. These are extreme examples of what happens when a Democrat takes over. They make it easier to vote for everyone. I mean, that is just a fact when you look at the data. Michael?
Sorry, I was waiting if there was a end of that question. But I mean, I think issue one in particular, want to make sure that we're stressing that whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, if you are serving as an election administrator, your job is to be there for your voters, to help expand voting access, to maintain clean voting rolls, to make sure elections are administered safely, securely, transparency. And there's a big tide from these pro-Trump conspiracy theories across the country that we need to collectively push back against. And again, I think that's why we're seeing this record amount of money flowing into these Secretary of State contests. And in a lot of battleground states, every vote really will matter and determine not just the races at the top of the ticket, but these down ballot races like Secretary of State as well. Your vote really has power this year, and everyone should be harnessing that power.
Michael Beckel is research director at Issue One, an organization working to fix the broken political system in this country. He and his colleagues have very important reports out about the 13 Republican election deniers running for Secretary of State. They also follow the money. These candidates have raised more than $12 million. Michael, huge thanks to you and your team for putting this information out, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Rose. And if anybody wants to check out these reports, they can go to issue1.org and issue1action.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.